It's time for our weekly conversation with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Tired of buying and repping the same old Seattle sports gear everyone else has? For the best Storm, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Mike Florio, here's Softy and Dick.
And welcome back, Sports Radio 950 KJR, Softy and Dick. Without the soft one this week, Jerry Brewer will rejoin us coming up in the next segment. But now, as always, at this time on a Wednesday, we talk to our friend from PFT, Mike Florio. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. And, you know, this Russell Wilson thing never seems to go away. And, you know, I guess the question that has been asked over the last 24, 48 hours, I've heard it asked multiple places, is would a third of the NFL call John Schneider if Russell Wilson wasn't available? How would you answer that question?
Yes, because there's no harm in calling. There's no harm in hearing it straight from the team. There's no harm in making an offer, even if the Seahawks hang up the phone or ultimately just don't respond. And, you know, I haven't seen a report that the teams that are calling are being told, go away, you're wasting our time, why are you doing this, we have better things to do than talk to people who want to discuss subjects that have no relevance to us. So yeah, I think that even if they haven't come out and said they want to trade him, it does make sense for teams to call. Teams are calling the Texans. You know, the difference is between the Texans and the Seahawks, the Texans are making it known that they're not interested in trading Deshaun Watson. Whether they are or not, they're making it known that they're not. The Seahawks aren't saying anything, which I think is kind of strange. And the longer this goes, the weirder it is that they aren't saying anything.
Well, and yeah, and I've heard that from other people, even as too far as criticizing the Hawks for not squashing the rumors. But I'm wondering, I mean, are the Hawks really supposed to hold a press conference during the off season, kissing Russell Wilson's butt and throwing roses at him and saying we love him and we're not trading him? I mean, that just
You don't have to do that. But there's a way to make it known to people in the media that they're not trading him. They haven't even tried to do that. You know, they call a reporter, local or national, mm-hmm. and make it known that way. And they just didn't do it, period. And they haven't done it. Now, whether or not they will do it, different question. But they haven't. And the longer it goes that they haven't, the more conspicuous it gets.
Is it smart for them not to do that? Just because, hey, maybe they do end up getting an offer that they can't refuse. Why not keep the door open?
Well, yeah, I think you sit back and you just wait and see how it plays out. And when a team calls and makes an offer, if you don't respond, maybe they call back with a better offer. And I think as we get closer to March 17th when the market opens, teams that are looking at other options at quarterback, they may decide to put their best offer on the table before they move on to whatever their other option is. If Russell Wilson is plan A, let's go ahead and make our best offer so we can move on to plan B with a clean conscience. So I think that's a possibility as well. But, hey, look, every player in the NFL, except a small handful, every player is available to be traded for the right price. And I think Russell Wilson is on that list of guys who are available to be traded. The question is, will someone put the right price in front of the Seahawks, and what will they do? And the other question I have, and I know that this question is pertinent in league circles, who makes the decision? Who calls the shots? Who has the up or down authority, the true authority, to either accept or reject an offer? And I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if it's Jody Allen, if it's Pete Carroll, if it's somebody else. I just don't know, and I think people around the league don't know either.
Is this a Mark Rogers, I'm ticked at the Hawks thing, or is this truly a Russell Wilson thing? Because they could be two different things, right? You could have the agent be more pissed off at the franchise than the actual player is.
Well, that's possible, but unless Mark Rogers is one hell of a ventriloquist, I mean, it was Russell Wilson who spoke, right? He's the one who spoke publicly, yeah, and made it known that there are things he doesn't like and actually, you know, crossed the line as some would say. And we've talked about this earlier, the idea that he threw teammates under the bus, complaining about blocking. It's just so strange for a quarterback to do this, and I don't think the quarterback does it if the agent is the one who's upset. The client is the one who calls the shots, and I think that at the end of the day, this all originates from Russell Wilson, and I don't think this is something that just popped up when he was sitting at the Super Bowl looking miserable, caught between his wife and the commissioner as Tom Brady was down on the field winning number 7. I think this is something that's been a while in the making, and the question is, does it come to a head now, or does it come to a head next year? I think that it's coming to a head at some point. And if it's going to come to a head next year, then there's a reason, I think, if you are the Seahawks, to see what you can get now.
Absolutely.
Maybe you get more now than you would next year.
I think that's fair, no question about it. We heard from another Seahawks star this week. We heard from K.J. Wright saying he's not going to take the hometown discount. What's the market going to be? KJ's such an interesting case because the guy seems to get better with age, which is not normally what we see in the NFL.
Yeah, and anytime a guy says he's not going to give the hometown discount, that means that unless he gets franchise tagged, and I'd be shocked if that happens,
right,
he's going to see what's out there, and maybe he'll leave. And, you know, every player at some point reaches that level where they need to be thinking about how much money they're going to make, how many years they have left, and let's make as much and save as much because the earning capacity isn't going to be there once the career ends. And, you know, I don't know what anyone's value is right now because I don't know what teams are going to do as it relates to the salary cap. I don't know how much of an early rush to sign guys for big money is going to happen this year.
Right.
I think the big money's not going to be there like it normally is. Teams are going to wait for a while and see what bargains are out there. And that's part of this too. You can't really set your board at free agency and identify your targets until you know who all's out there. And right up until March 17, when everyone has to be in compliance with the new cap, there's a possibility guys are going to be available that you didn't realize were going to be available.
Yeah.
And that becomes a factor then. You got to look at those guys and you have to evaluate those guys. You know, that's like with J.J. Watt. Even if you have an idea what the salary cap's going to be, and we're starting to get some clarity, even then, you don't know who else is going to be available. And the worst thing you could do is invest in one guy, and then another guy that you really would have been interested in is available.
Well, another guy I'm torn on is Chris Carson, because this appears to be an offseason where the supply is going to outweigh the demand, which should bring the price down for guys like Chris Carson. But I also look at that list, and other than Aaron Jones, I don't see a better running back out there than Chris Carson. So, I'm hearing, you know, a tag at 8.5 for Chris Carson and maybe a 2-year contract, or maybe you just let him go to free agency and you pick up somebody almost as good as Chris Carson for pennies on the dollar.
This is not a criticism of Chris Carson. This is just a reality of the position. If you can't stay healthy, you don't have the value.
Yeah.
Too many injuries at a position where you're regularly in these car crash type incidents, these hits where you're getting pretzeled up, and can you keep going? Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. And the guys who are durable, the guys who, for whatever reason, whether it's because of the way their bodies are constituted or they just instinctively know how to position themselves in a way where they don't get injured when they get hit, but just too many injuries, that's the problem. And that's where the challenge is, to take the name off the back of the jersey and make an assessment of the player. And I think that players can be found in any round of the draft or not even in the draft. Wasn't Carson a 7th rounder or close to it?
Yes.
James Robinson undrafted last year by the Jaguars, yep, and he was awesome. So I think that's always the preference. You know, with these running backs, sometimes teams get pushed into signing them to a big contract because the fans fall in love with them. They become superstars, and for reasons unrelated to football. Sean Alexander, I think, was one of the first big examples of that. After he was the league MVP in 2005, Seahawks go to the Super Bowl. He's due for a new contract. They pay him a bunch of money, and within a year, they regret it.
Right.
Sometimes there is that regret right away, and sometimes there isn't, but you know, you only do that for a superstar. I think for Chris Carson, you just don't do it, and you move on to somebody else, and you hope you can get someone who isn't going to be regularly banged up and unavailable to play. And I mean, to say, you know, they've been through that issue with him. It seems like they've been through it with a lot of running backs. And maybe it's just a matter of dumb luck. But at some point, unless you've got substandard training and flexibility and nutrition programs, at some point you're just going to get lucky and get a guy who is going to be a guy who stays healthy. And I think that's, it's better to swing the axe in that direction than it is to just hope that things are suddenly going to improve with Chris Carson.
You know, it seems like a month since Carson Wentz was traded, but it was only 6 days ago, so we didn't even get a chance to talk to you last Wednesday about it. So was this as close to a win-win as you can get, or do you really feel like one side got the better of the other?
No, I think it was a win-win because the Colts desperately needed a quarterback, and the Colts have that institutional knowledge of Carson Wentz by virtue of Frank Reich's time with the Eagles as offensive coordinator, and the Eagles needed to unload a bad contract. This is a Jared Goff, Brock Osweiler type of a contract, and the fact that the Eagles got anything positive flowing in their direction while escaping a bad contract is huge for them. Yeah, it's only a third-round pick and a second-round pick that can become a first-rounder, and when we see that the Lions got two ones and a what was it, two ones plus, two ones and a three? It was two ones. And a three for Matthew Stafford. You know, but that's misleading because part of that haul was to take on the Jared Goff contract.
Right.
And so the fact that the Eagles got something is huge, and the fact that the Colts answered their quarterback question with Philip Rivers retiring, huge for them. I think it worked out well, and now we see whether or not it was an aberration last year for Carson Wentz when he performed so poorly after having really three straight solid seasons.
Final couple minutes with Mike Florio, PFT, brought to you by our friends at Simply Seattle, and Jamie has done it again. Jamie Munson's put out a new free Jared rally tee. We got to get Jared Kelenic up on the major league roster, so for just $5.99, you can buy your free Jared rally tee, and also your $5.99 will donate $1 to a charity of Jared Kelenic's choice. So very cool idea. He's always very creative there at Simply Seattle. I mean, we don't have time to talk about all these quarterbacks and restructurings in the news, so let's just go to Dak because he's the quarterback in his prime. Franchise or long-term deal in his future?
I think you have to do a long-term deal if you're the Cowboys for one very important reason. $37.68 million franchise tag number, a 20% raise over his number last year, and he was given the exclusive tag last year. That shows what the Cowboys think of him. And if you don't do a long-term deal, the other side of it is once you apply that tag, you are ticking toward next year when he walks away, because a third franchise tag involves a 44% bump, $54.25 million franchise tender. They're not going to do it next year. He's hitting the market next year. And I was talking about this earlier in the day on Dan Patrick's show. People are confused about what Dak Prescott's market value is. Well, the reason they're confused is the Cowboys consistently have kept him from hitting the market. That's what the franchise tag is. It's a device that allows teams to keep players from determining their market value. So we don't know Dak's market value because the Cowboys have decided to pay a premium, and it's a significant premium, in order to keep that from happening. So it's on them, and if they can't work out a long-term deal, then they're going to have a hell of a mess next year, because I think if they don't get a long-term deal by July 15, which is the deadline for doing it, and I think that they should try to get the long-term deal before they even use the tag a second time. But if they can't get that long-term deal, there's a good chance it's going to be Dak's last year with the Cowboys.
When you were on the Patrick Show today, did you talk about your lack of protection at PFT like Russell?
I there's no one to trade me to. That's the problem. See, I'm more like the quarterback whose team would love to trade him, but they can't find any takers.
Gotcha.
So I just keep my mouth shut and keep going.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you.
Mike Florio, brought to you by our friends at Simply Seattle. Don't forget the free Jared t-shirt. It's not a free t-shirt, but it's basically free. It's only $5.99. Free Jared Kelenic t-shirt from our friends at Simply Seattle, which includes a $1 donation to the choice to the charity of Jared Kelenic's choice. Back after this, we'll bring back Jerry Brewer to the fold on 950.